Hello once again. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I want to bring you some hope today. I want to reintroduce you to the love of God, which is greater far than tongue can tell. It reaches from the highest star down into the lowest hell. Your experience of life is between those two areas, the highest of the heavens and the depth of the hell. Somewhere in between, you have been living and you are experiencing. So I want to leave with you right now some hope. We start a new year. It's already started for us. But in this new year, we have a great opportunity to have something in our hearts tucked away, which is called hope. Now, please, take the time to take your mind off all of the silly things that are going on in the world. The world is a confused place because the world in general has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And the ethics of Christianity have been so dirtied and so sallied that men and women aren't knowing what Christianity really is. I would like to say to you that the Apostle Paul had something very well written, and we could take note by reading it. So here, come with me into 1 Corinthians and chapter 13. Paul is in the midst of a discussion that I don't want to get into because it would just cause all sorts of nonsensical thinking and arguments that are never satisfied and arguments that are never finished. And the dogma of our arguments spoil and ruin our fellowship with one another. And that I do not want to do. But what I want to say to you is, if you read the 12th chapter of this beautiful letter, Paul says, here are the characteristics of Christians. We all have the Holy Spirit, he says, but some people have the spirit of this and that and the other. He lists those things for us so that we can understand that people concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And then he goes on and says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, if only we could dovetail all of this together, we would have a perfect church, if there's such a thing. And he goes on in verse 8, and he says, if chapter 12, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing, listen to this, to each one individually as he, the Holy Spirit, desires or wills. So now we swing over to the very practical thing of the 13th chapter. And Paul is addressing the same issue when he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, the glossolalia that some people stress so firmly, that is, we speak in tongues, we speak in glossolalia. Well, there are the tongues of men, which are the languages that man speaks. And the glossolalia, the speech of angels. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as also I am known. Now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Now in the Authorized Version, this is the New King James Version that I've read. In the Authorized Version, the King James 1611, I think it is, the word love was translated charity. And our newer translators have said it doesn't hit the mark. We don't use that word charity the same way that was used in the Elizabethan times. So they have changed the word charity to love. In other words, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity. And then in the 13th verse, now abide faith, hope, and charity. These three, the greatest of these is charity. You know, when we say love, immediately mankind says, I understand love. It's the love of a man for a woman. It's the love of a parent for a child for the parent. It is the love that we see spread around in kindness and in generosity. But if you read this carefully, Paul has already said, though I give all my gifts to the poor and have not charity. You would say, well, wait a minute, hasn't he just expressed charity in the giving of his gifts to the poor? The answer is no. Why do we want, in our political thinking, to say there is a man that has found $10, he's earned $10, and I only have one? Now, I'm not prepared to invest my one, so I'm going to wrap it up in a little parcel and I'm going to bury my one talent. I'm going to put it away to the side. But the man with a 10 says, well, I've got 10. I'm going to see if I can make it 20. And here is charity. Tied into this is the charity. You see, charity is the expression of love. Love is the expression of charity. And we need to understand that we cannot generate love. Or we can generate passion, as eros. We can generate the passion of life. We can have great times in passion. That's why pornography is so popular, because it shows passion, ungilded passion, and that's all it is, unresponsible passion. It has no limits. It has no requirements. It's just that's it. Or you can say another word that is used for the word love, philo. You know, I can honestly say that I love the people of the congregation. I can say that I love my fellow man. I don't wish him any harm, is what I'm saying. I hope he survives whatever dreadful thing has come upon him, and I can pray for him, and so on. But that's philo love. The agape, or the love of Jesus, is a very different love. It involves both of those expressions. It has a great passion, and it has a great love that is man to man, and woman to woman, and man to those around us. But we need to understand that God has given us charity. He expressed his charity. In the gift of God, which is eternal life, he gave us love. And in that love that we could not generate in our own hearts. No, I love my children because they're my children. But I love them because of something else. I love them because Jesus loves them. And I have loved my children because they were lost and they were able to come to the place where they received Christ without my coercion. But they were faced with the issues when they were young, that you were lost, you need to be found. To be found, you have to put your trust in Jesus, and you have to trust him for all the rotten things and all the good things and all the wonderful things and all the bad things that come along in life. You can trust Jesus will see you through. 1 year after we were married a little while, someone gave us a plaque that said, "He who has helped you hitherto will see you all the journey through." Now, we were young in our 20s, and we looked at that, and I've never forgotten it for some reason. Well, I knew he would see me all the journey through, but here I am now older and waiting to die, in a sense, expecting to die any time, in a sense, though I'm not terribly ill, so don't think that. But the wonderful thing is that though the 70 years may have gone by, now I'm in a place where I can see he who helped me first is still helping me now. I'm no better off than I was, but I'm understanding more of what I have. God so loved. He expressed in his love the charity, gave me love, love to love other people. Now, there were times in my life, I'm quite sure, where I misused that love or I misunderstood that love, but I had love. And the love of God, which is greater far than anything we can understand, that love found me while I was yet a sinner and caused me to be able to say, I am alive in Christ. So we come to this place that I want to share with you, love or charity. I receive the charity of God when I receive the love of God. He has expressed his love. Why, I was so spiritually bankrupt. I was so spiritually depraved. I was so spiritually without, totally incapable of coming to holiness. Unholy cannot receive holy. Holy can receive unholy. But unholy cannot receive holy. The peace that I had in my heart was because I had confidence in my parents. One day after a V1, a flying bomb, had landed in our front yard or garden, when it had exploded and blown our house to smithereens, it took the front and the top of our house off completely, but it left standing, curiously, the kitchen and the hallway and the two bedrooms upstairs precariously swaying in the wind. And I took a broom and I was sweeping the hallway. I don't know why, just seemed the thing to do. I was about 12 or 13 years old. I didn't know what to do, and I was so upset that my mum and dad had lost for the second time a house and all our belongings. And it seemed incredible to me that there was anything going. My dad came out and he said, "Well, what are you doing?" I said, "Sweeping." He said, "That's a good occupation." And I didn't even think of it as an occupation. And he sat on the stairs that were swinging in the wind. He said, "Sit down beside me. Not one of us is hurt. Not one of us is scratched. God has been good." And I remember as the young fellow looking at my dad and looking at all the dust and bricks and debris and all the things, pieces of furniture that were now smashed and so on. My mother was covered in dust. My brother was covered in dust. My great aunt who lived upstairs the same. And I can remember looking at him and them and all the things around me. "God has been good to us." And he said, "Yes, God has loved us." And yet it seemed curious to me as a child that God had taken everything from us except our lives. We had the clothes we were in, my brother and I in our PJs, pajamas if you're in England. And here I was holding a broom in my hand, and my dad said, "God has loved us." It was quite a moment, I have to admit. It was startling. God placed in our hearts, placed in my father's heart, love. He placed love, the love for God, the love for one another. Not many minutes later, he said to me, "Well, everybody here is fine. Let's go and see who we can help." And off we went. Now, here is the Philo love. There was a pile of rubble. There were lots of houses smashed. And There was a pile of rubble almost opposite our house, and my father looked in the debris and he said, "You're strong, be careful. Now you go in there and see if those people are in their air raid shelter." Because we all knew one another. Each house had different air raid shelters and had their own arrangement. I remember crawling in and crawling back out and saying, "Dad, there are seven people there, but I can't wake any of them up." And so he sent the rescue crews in and told them that there were seven people in there. And he said, "My son says they're asleep, but I think you know what he meant." I don't know what I meant, because I thought they were asleep, but they were all dead. We weren't. We went to another house, and here we found people buried under debris. And I worked alongside my dad, pulling great chunks of masonry aside and this, that and the other, till we came to somebody crying, from somebody who was shouting, people whose limbs were broken and damaged and heads were cut and so on. We weren't cut. We weren't damaged. Yet this silly bomb had landed slap in our front yard. It's a curious thing. God puts love in the heart of people. I would go on to say to you this, that if you've not received the love of God, you have no hope. And so the current consequences of the political dilemmas that we discover, and all you can hear nowadays, it seems, in our media, and all you can read is the dilemma of the politics of the day throughout the world. It's not just America, it's all through the world. There are riots here because everybody's broke in that country. There are riots there because everybody's broke in a different country. And so it goes on. And we try to think that it's all our fault and we take on the blame for this and the other. It's this political situation, it's that political situation. What stupidity! None of it is because of the politics. All of it is because we have turned our attention away from what God so graciously gave us at Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all time. And God said, "Hear ye him." Listen to what he has to say. What does Jesus have to say? He says, "I love you." And it's that simple. Now, it's not easy to say, "I charity you." But God has poured out his charity, and amongst the chortles of his charity is the beautiful thing called love. Love came down at Christmas. Love floods the soul of man. If man will open his heart to Jesus Christ the Lord, why, he has hope. And this is exactly what is being said here in the seventh verse of this chapter. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. I can hope. I will not see my grandchildren get to be old, but I will see by hope. I will see through the love of God, through the binoculars of the charity that God has given and placed in my heart. I shall see them develop into great men and women of God. I'm excited. I'm excited. Every child is part of the heritage that God has given to every parent. And we need to understand that there is so much for us all to know. And amongst all to know is the love of God. Now, do you have this love? Because without it, without this charity forming in your heart, without this charity bearing fruit in your life, without this charity developing in your soul, you have no hope. That's why the political agenda can throw you. That's why the military can throw you. That's why all the pundits of this world can cause you to worry and get anxious and frustrated all at the same time. But if you have the charity of God growing in your soul, if you have the love of God, you will not be as the politicians and as the arguers of this world and this present time. They are as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. They change their minds over and over and over again. We will not raise taxes. Oh, by the way, we've had to raise taxes, but we don't call it raising taxes anymore. You're helping those that are over here or over there. You rich people, give your gifts to the poor people. The poor people will stay poor and you'll get rich again and replenish, but that's beside the point. We want you to share. And that's all, it seems, that we can come up with. It seems rather foolish to me that we don't understand some of the expectations that the Lord has put in our hearts. We hope all things. Lord, what I long for, my hope is in thee. And again in Psalm 71, and I think it's verse 8 or 5, thou art my hope, O Lord. In verse 14, we discover, I will hope continually. Do you hope in the Lord? That's the evidence that this charity, this wonderful gift of God, has been poured into your heart. And it's the evidence that the love of God has taken up residence in your soul. And it is a wonderful thing that you have if you have it. Now, how do you get it? Well, you have to get off your high horse and stop talking about all the things that you can do for people. And you stop trying to accumulate all knowledge and understand all mysteries. You stop boasting about, I have all faith. Stop it. Just stop it. So that you don't have to try to remove mountains. If you don't have love, you won't make it anyway. And you are nothing. Oh dear, that second verse just crushes me. The third verse says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profits me nothing. What a terrible thing. What a hopeless thing. Surely the people need to be fed. Surely the people need to be helped. Surely I must be on my way and I must be able to help people in every conceivable manner. Surely. Well, I have to draw this to a close. But hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, says 1 Peter 1:13. And in the 19th verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Then let's look at Romans 8 and discover verses 24 and 25. We are saved by hope if we hope for that which we see not. Then do we with patience wait for it. Notice Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence is the conviction. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. It is my evidence, my conviction, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. Wonderful Lord Jesus, he is the hope of the hopeless. Can you come to that place where today you may say within your heart, within your soul, my hope is Jesus? Have you received this Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God? Have you received him as your Saviour? Do you know him as your precious Lord? Now, we, you and I, need to come to an agreement with God. God has so loved us that he gave us. So, have you ever said thank you? At Christmas time, we write thank you notes to those that send. At Christmas time, we go around the family and we say, thank you so much for this or that or the other. We accept the gift, we give our thanks. So the apostle says, give thanks unto the Lord. Praise him, worship him. The psalmist says, I have to thank God day by day. The hymn writer says, new every morning is thy love. Our awakening and uprising prove from sleep, from darkness, safely brought new thoughts of heaven, new powers of thought. What a terrific expression that is. Come, let this hope develop in you. Jesus is God's gift. He is Lord of lords, King of kings, and he reigneth for ever and ever. And the government of our peace is upon his shoulder, and he will never leave us alone. He's always with us, wherever you are, in a foxhole or a split trench, in a palatial house or a cottage. Whether you're in this country, that country, or another country, it makes no matter. Jesus is with you, And that joy of Christmas is love come down, and no man can take it from you. Isn't that lovely? Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you will become that living, bright reality within our souls this day, that we may have hope in you. Bless everyone listening, please, for your name's sake. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for listening. The Lord be with you. Bye-bye.